But there was an old covenant and a new covenant. And so there was the old one was identified with servanthood, slavery. I got to work, I got to toil, etc. And the new covenant is sonship. And if you look at all the different covenants, you understand, hey, one, I had to work and I got no results. The new one, I don't have to work, I inherit. I'm a son in the kingdom. Does that make sense to you guys? So let's just go through this again, because how much you're going to experience of the new covenant is really what you believe. It's you need a heart and mind transformation is really what's going on. That's so I'm just going to step you through this a little bit of review, but religion, it's if I do this more, if I do something less. Hey, stop doing this, do this. It's all external. Does that make sense? And that's the physical first. The old covenant was physical types and shadows that were pointed to something good, but the new one is spiritual, is what it said. It's an internal belief system that you believe. That's how the new covenant works. And so I will be pleasing that, I don't need to go through all this, but this is, I'm trying to identify some things where you can still be really legalistic and go, hey, if I pray more, then God will be pleased with me. You know what? If God's using me, I see this a lot. If God's using me, Lord, I just want to, I want to heal the sick, because then I'll know you, then you love me, because then I know you're using me. Does that make sense? Hey, the most powerful thing you can ever do is give people the gospel and reconciliation, and they'll heal. It's fascinating. When they heal internally, they'll actually heal everything, and it'll be long-lasting. And so, of course, we want to pray for, if you have, anybody can operate in the gift of healing, but there's a higher way to live. That's what I'm trying to tell you guys is the gifts are there so people can understand the gospel. But I think it's better to not have to be healed to live in divine health. Does anybody agree with that? I just do. I think that's a better way to live. Now, never feel condemned if you got issues. It's just an indicator, guys, that you're feeding on the wrong trees. You're mixing the trees. You're mixing the old covenant, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, with the new covenant, which is Jesus, the tree of life. Does that make sense? All right. So, hey, do all these things. The reason we need to take authority, be a spiritual warrior over my town, all this stuff, I go, it's doing nothing. Is this skid already goes, you know what? They've already been conquered. The spiritual war is getting them to believe the truth of the new covenant, and then you'll see the community change. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay. So those are pictures of the old man, the old covenant, work, labor, servanthood. So how you can identify what's a picture of in the Bible is you'll see fading away, going away, old, the old man. Then you know you're in religion. Does that make sense to you guys? And I've shared this. I share this with a lot of people when they're trying to understand. Sometimes if they hear the gospel of grace, the first time they hear it, they go, what? What? And you want an interesting experiment, go to the largest churches in the world and go, explain the new covenant to me. It'll be crickets. They'll give you something. And it'll be a mixture, I promise you. It's just, because I've done this with the big guys, right? And they talk about faith and something, and I'm like, well, what's the new covenant? What's the good news? That doesn't sound like good news to me. If I need to balance, do this more, do that less, get this higher than this less, how can that be good news? The good news is, man, you're complete in Christ. There's nothing wrong with you. The last Adam is who you should be identified with. You're perfect in him. Does that make sense to you guys? So that's why Jesus said there was an old one, but this is my body and blood of a new covenant. Follow me? Okay, so let's just keep going here. All right, son versus a son in the kingdom. If you go look, a great example is Moses. You know, Moses, when he was standing next to the Lord in the burning bush, he said, take off your shoes, didn't he? Take off your shoes, this is holy ground. But when Jesus was explaining the Father, and even Moses, when he said, hey, show me your glory, we sang about that today. So here's Moses, he's seeing all the glory cloud, all these different things, there's thunder, there's lightning, and he goes, show me your glory. And what did God say? He goes, I got to put you in the cleft of the rock, and then you can see me. So he goes, in order to see glory, what do you need to be? I can't do it with the law, Moses, because you're a picture of legalism. I need to put you in the cleft, the fissure of the rock. So who did he put him in? He put him into Jesus, and he goes, here's my glory. This is the last man. This is the last Adam. I'm going to restore all mankind to glory. That's what it says. Many of them justified have been glorified. So if you accepted Christ, then you've been glorified. You're going to receive your glorified body. Does that make sense? That's his glory. I'm going to restore mankind back to everything. Now, do you have to wait to experience heaven on earth right now? No. That's why he said, hey, pray. You can demand that heaven is on earth. You can have days of heaven right on earth. That's why he said, hey, pray that the kingdom comes. And scripture clearly says the kingdom's come. It's already come. You can be a son right now in the kingdom. Does that help you guys? And the old covenant, it's identified with weeping, crying, etc. The new covenant, the new song is joy, righteousness, holiness. The new covenant is righteousness, peace, and joy in what? In something you can't see, a set-apart spirit. The spirit of Jesus was put on you. And then anointed you with him. He goes, I'm covering with you. And so that's the new covenant. That's the joy. That's the excitement. That's the praise and worship, etc. There's no more weeping and mourning. Follow me? Because even death has been conquered. When you pass out of this realm and go to heaven, you get your glorified body instantaneously, is what it says. So death has been conquered. You guys won't experience death. Isn't that good news? You don't even have to be afraid of that. So, all right. So you're a joint heir with Christ. And that's why I constantly tell people, the new covenant is believing what's true about Jesus is true about you. As he is, even so are you in this world. Despite you. This is where we start to mix them again. Hey, get saved. It's the greatest thing in the world. Now stop doing all that the minute you get saved. And then they go, man, the law is designed to show you what's wrong with you. But I'm going to show you clearly it's over. It's gone. I know we have discussions about this with a lot of people, and it's just too good to be true. Like, what do you mean? He's not looking at my behavior. No, he's not. He's not. In fact, when you realize how righteous and holy and pure and loved you are, you go, you'll live a pretty good life. It's a fascinating thing because it's going to come from the inside. Does that help you guys? It's a spiritual thing. All right, so let's just keep going here. So, and you know what? There's a common theme even through Scripture. Sonship was always by believing, not by doing. So the blessing, you ever notice that the blessing of Moses has never come upon you? Why not? Because Moses didn't get to the promised land by legalism. He had to be put into the cleft of Jesus to see it. Follow me? The blessing of who has come upon you when you believe? Abraham. Why Abraham? You faith guys, I'm going to nail you right now a minute. You hyper faith guys. You hyper grace? No, man, I'm hyper. Yes, I am. That's what I'm saying. Therefore, it's of faith that it's by grace, so no one can boast. But a lot of people like to boast in their faith level. And faith is, this is a reality because of Jesus. It's nothing more than that, guys. Hey, I believe that I am in Christ, and he is in me, and my life now can reflect his just because I believe that's who I am. I'm not this dirty, sinner, lustful thing. Even if you're struggling with that, you need to put that old man off and go, I am righteous, I'm holy, I'm perfect because I'm in Christ. The number one thing you need is a rest for your soul, your conscience, to go, you're okay, you're forgiven, man. Like that story of the lady who was committed to adultery. What changed? Why did she feel the presence of God? The message of, he's not judging you for that. Man, he still loves you perfectly. The favor of God, here's another one. You hear me say this a lot, but you need to get this. When you mess up, does the anointing and favor of God change in your life? No. Not even close. Because you've become one. You're in him and he's in you. Does that make sense? Now, you believing that it changes is what's condemning you and judging you. It's not him. He goes, I removed the sin from the world. That's a tough message, but that's what he said. There's the real lamb that removed it once and for all so he could sit down because the work is over. It's finished. That's what it means. The work of the old covenant's over. He finished it. Does that help you guys? So if you go look in Scripture, though, it was always the blessing of Abraham came upon us. Why? Because Abraham believed the gospel message, and it was accredited to him as righteous. Was he righteous in his own acts? No, that's what I'm going to nail you faith guys. Did he have perfect faith? Did he and Sarah have perfect faith? Well, wait a minute. Why not? Because it wasn't about it. It was, I believe that that's going to be my representative, just Jesus thing, that he's going to covenant, he's going to send his own son. I believe that. And I'm going to be righteous and holy based on Jesus, not me. Because you guys all know this story. He adulterates his wife. And then almost like the very next verse, it says, and Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. What? I thought, when he can trust me, that's when he's going to bless me. When I stop sinning, that's going to bless me. Yeah, he just adulterated his wife, and then he was blessed. Why? Because it was based on a promise. God said, hey, Abraham, I'm going to show the world that you're going to be my guy, and I'm going to be your God. Right? In blessing, the blessing of Melchizedek is in blessing, I will bless. If Jesus says, hey, I'm going to bless you, and then I'm going to bless you some more, what do you think he's going to do? Bless you. There was no, hey, Abraham, if you do this, then this. That's old covenant. That was given at Mount Sinai where 3,000 people died. But when the Spirit was given that you're holy and righteous, 3,000 people lived. There's an old one and a new one. One caused death, one caused life. I'm just showing you all the pictures in the Bible. They're all the same. So how you become a son, how you inherit everything that Jesus did is simply by believing, not doing. Get it? Okay, let's go through Scripture and we'll be done. All right, just a little review from last week. Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. Who's the last Adam? Jesus. So what's the pattern here? We see, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation or judgment for all people, So what is he saying? What's a good way to say this? You know, some of you guys don't know what federalism means because you went to public school. Federalism means there's a head and all of you are represented by it. Does that make sense? So God's a federalist, meaning if one man's this way, all men are this way. But if one man's perfect, then all men are perfect. That's what he's trying to show here. So God's a one-man show is probably, I don't know how to say this, so let's just read scripture. Because you guys know what federalism is? Maybe not, right? Go read the Federalist Papers, it's good, actually. So, consequently, just as one trespass, so meaning the first Adam messed up, so guess what? All of us messed up because we're represented by one man. Now the good news is there was another man who didn't mess up, so we're all represented by him. So, also one righteous act resulting in justification and all life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, that was Adam, the many were made sinners, so also, and he goes, if that's true, because the pattern was if one man was bad, then the flip side, the pattern has to be the same. If one man was good, then now I can identify that all are good. That's the gospel, right? Okay, so for just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. That's why it says, bring every thought into captivity to Dave Robbins' obedience. Lord, help us. Mike Popovich's obedience. Really, Lord, help you. Does that make sense? But that's what the church has taught for 2,000 years. Whose obedience? Christ. Why? Why does he say bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ? Because Christ was perfectly obedient, that means I am perfectly obedient. I get every blessing because one man was perfect, now we can all be blessed. Does that help you guys? Okay, let's just keep going. Does that make sense to you guys? There was an old man, an old covenant, there's a new man, a new covenant. Whichever one you're going to believe, obey, is what Romans says. That doesn't mean your actions. See, most pastors get this wrong. They didn't read the next few verses. It says, you used to be a slave to sin. Now you are owned by righteousness. Your new slave owner is righteousness. Believe what he's telling about you. The old slave owner says you're dirty, you're a sinner because you just sinned, you're a slave to that again. I cannot find pastors that teach that right. I really can't. It's amazing to me. I go, can you read? Can you read? He's not talking about you acting. He's talking about you used to be owned by slavery and you had to listen, meaning the old covenant says you're bad, you're dirty, you're guilty, you're this. Stop listening to him. Listen to your new slave owner, which is righteousness. It says you're perfect, you're holy, you're righteous. That's who you are. It's not based on your actions. It says because you obeyed this form of teaching. You believed the right thing. That's what he's trying to show you there. Does that help you guys out? Okay. So what you need to listen to is your self-talk. You need to remind yourself, like, wait a minute, I am holy, I am righteous. When you get your heart right, guys, now you can start living the new covenant. Right? Does that help? What's the new covenant? You're the man. Because Jesus was the man. Does that help you guys? How dirty are you? Spotless. Everybody's saying, he's not going to come back for a dirty bride. Then we got a long time to wait. Because we're not dirty. If spotless bride is based on your actions, we're all guilty before the Lord. Romans 3. I'm like, you're missing this, guys. So, all right. Romans 9, 6. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Uh-oh. What does that mean? I'm trying to unravel the Bible for you a little bit. Jacob, the supplanter. It also means to supplant or replace. I'm going to show you this. It's kind of cool in Scripture. So what he's saying is, when Jacob believed in Jesus, he was turned to Israel. So Israel are the believers. Does that make sense? So he's going, just because you were born a Jew doesn't mean you're a son in the kingdom. I'm going to show you this scripturally. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are descendants are they all Abraham's children. Why? Because Abraham had two children, didn't he? One, he did the work, right? Hagar, I'm going to show you this. He went in and did some work. What did it produce? Ishmael. The one that God produced, what did it produce? Isaac. God doesn't even recognize Ishmael. He goes, I don't recognize your effort. Your only son is Isaac. All right, so nor because they are descendants are they all Abraham's children, meaning that just because you were born this way, be born of the first Adam, you're born of the flesh of a Jew, doesn't mean you're Jewish, is what he's trying to say. On the contrary, what is contrary? I know this. I'm breaking this down so simple, but the opposite, right? In fact, the opposite's going to be true. It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. So who are the true sons? Not your effort. It was never based on effort or the old covenant. It was based on believing in the new covenant. All right? In other words, it's not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it's the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated: at the appointed time, I will return, and Sarah will have a son. All right? Verse 10, not only that, but Rebekah, so he's going, hey, if that was true, now I'm going to show you one other instance where this is true. Let's go to Isaac and Rebekah. So not only that, but Rebekah's children were conceived at the same time by their father Isaac. Who were Rebekah's children? It's going to tell you right here. Jacob and Esau. Yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, okay, hey, it's not their fault is what he's trying to say. It has nothing to do with them. It's how I designed it. In order that God's purpose and election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger. Just as is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Why did he love Jacob, the younger brother? Because Jacob was the true son. Jacob was not the hairy son. Esau was hairy, right? That's why John the Baptist was hairy and Jesus wasn't. I'm serious. Yeah, who asked that? Yeah, see, I'm trying to give the Bible to you. That's why they mocked Elisha, because Elisha's a picture of Jesus. Elijah was a picture of God's judgment, the old covenant, right? And so all the guys, the Jews under the old covenant, are going, you baldy, because he wasn't hairy. Does that help? So you don't have to grow your beard if you don't want. You can grow it. It's okay. It doesn't matter. See, the old covenant, they couldn't shave. They took the Nazarene vow, right? I can't do this. I can't. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to eat. I'm going to eat locusts and honey and won't do anything, and I'm going to grow my beard and just be hairy. Like a lot of Christians today, the world looks at them and they go, if that's being a Christian, I want none of it. Why? Because it's old. It's bad. It's not a good covenant. Does that make sense? So Jacob, which means to replace, the younger brother replaced the old one. He loved the new covenant. He hated the old one that was built on you. You guys get this? He didn't hate Esau. He loves everybody. He hated the old covenant. I'm going to show you what this means here. All right. Verse 30. What shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it. A righteousness by what? Faith. Hey, I know I'm a mess, but all I have to do is believe that Jesus made me righteous, and now I'm righteous. That's what it says. But the people of Israel who pursued the law as the way of righteousness have not attained it. I don't care how good you are, you can't attain it. How do you retain it? It's a gift. Jacob replaced Esau. To replace the old covenant with the new covenant, then Jacob became Israel. All Israel is not descendants of Israel. Israel is believing Israel. You guys get it? It's all about old and new covenants. Let me go by one. But the people of Israel who pursued the law as the way of righteousness have not attained their goal. How many guys growing up, that's all you taught? This is how you're going to be pleasing to God, is how good you are. That's why people left the church. That's why I left the church. I go, man, I know I'm not that good. Right? I feel better with these guys over here because they don't pick on me, etc. They just think I'm the man even though I'm not the man. And we just hang out. We were friends that way. Follow me? Guys, that's what we're supposed to do to the world. Go, Jesus loves you perfectly. He thinks you're awesome. He wants to hang with you. Does that help you guys? Because you can't attain righteousness by being good. You have to attain it by faith. I believe what the gospel message is, that I'm faithful and righteous and holy, even though I know I'm not. That's why I need to renew my mind. And then I start experiencing more and more of the kingdom. See how you experience more and more? I see people pray, but their heart doesn't change, so they don't. Why isn't God answering my prayer? He's like, I answered it. The good news came 2,000 years ago. You're already righteous. You're already holy. You're already prosperous. You're already, you don't need to go through a 12-step process. I'm the process. Believe that your heart is completely righteous. You won't have to mess with it. Does that help you? Yes, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, man, I'm the new man. Hallelujah. That's absolutely wrong. I used to be. I don't brag in how good I am. I brag in, man, Jesus is amazing because look at me, and yet he blesses me. That's the message we're supposed to get. Now, I know it's tough because a lot of you guys like to boast in your stuff, you know? Isn't that true? Religious people drive me nuts. They do, because it's just, there's just this prideful to me. It's just, Barb knows, I'm just like, oh, God. I need a shower after that. So it really is, because you know what? If I get around it too much, my heart starts to change. I start to get around, I'm like, oh, maybe I, geez, right? A prophet would come to town, they go, he's going to read your mail. I'm like, oh, God. If I get scared of that, I remember when we were going to go through deliverance the first time, like, you better have everything confessed because he's going to eat your lunch. And then we're like, oh, Lord. Yeah, but it says there's sins we don't even know. Lord, I confess even the ones I don't even know. I confess those. Please don't eat my lunch when the prophet comes. That is an old covenant prophet if that's what he's doing. Amen? Hey, the good news is, he goes, where are your condemners? I didn't come to condemn you. I came to tell you what's right about you. I come to tell you what's good about you. Amen? Guess what? You thought I was going to come and judge you? Let me tell you how the Father really is. He's going to put the shoes, the robe of righteousness back on in your ring as if you never lost anything. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? Okay, so why not? Because they pursued it not by faith. They thought they could perform. They thought they could do it by keeping the law, by works, by this is how good I am. Does that help you guys? Everything's about the old and new. Let's just finish this off and we'll be good. Galatians 4:21. And the message is, gosh, I could keep giving you all the messages. I think next week I'm going to give you more types and shadows because those are fun to me. Those are fun and it unravels. I'm just going to warn you. Some of the stuff that you learn from your Bible teachers, whatever, you're going to go, what the? Because it's not about that. It's really not. And so anyway, Galatians 4:21. Tell me, who want to be under the law? Are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written about Abraham had two sons. I'm just giving you another example. One I showed you on the Romans. This one I'm going to show you on the Galatians. One by the slave woman, the other by the free woman. Who is the slave woman? Hagar. The old covenant makes you a servant, a slave. You got to work and toil and labor. But the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he doesn't ask you to labor. There's no labor. It's receiving it. Okay? So, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman, one by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh. My own effort, our own. He's actually telling the Jews, he goes, listen, you're slaves under the law. All right. But his son by the free woman was born as the result of a divine promise. These things are being taken figuratively. This is a big clue, guys, how to understand the Bible. The woman represent what? The Bible. There's an old covenant and a new covenant. Is there not? There's two trees. What's the first tree? Knowledge of the good and evil. What's the other tree? Jesus, the tree of life, the representative of two covenants. There's two heavens. There's an old one and then there's a new one. There's two temples. There's an old one and there's a new one. We don't have to wait. We're it, is what it says. Don't you know you've already come to the heavenly Jerusalem? The real one, is what he says. You're it. So that's messing people up because they're waiting for it, and I'm supposed to tell you, you're it. Well, wait a minute. That's why I'm gonna unravel some of this stuff. I'm a little nervous because it's going to rattle you a little bit. All right. But all I'm going to go, let's just read it for what it says, not what you've been taught. And how? All right, so what was Hagar and what was Sarah? It's going to tell us the two covenants. What are the two covenants? This is like Bible school 101, I know, but I'm trying to show you how the whole Bible's written. Does that help you guys? Hagar, hey, it's going to either be by work. You're going to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If I'm good, then God will be good to me. If I'm bad, he'll be bad to me. But the tree of life is in blessing I will bless. You're only good if you eat from me. Don't mix that leaven with it like we shared in communion. Beware of the leaven of the teachings that mix stuff because it'll ruin the whole thing. Because, see, the new covenant is supposed to make you sure. So you hear any teaching that doesn't make you sure, it's your spirit telling you that's not quite right. Does that help you? The new covenant is supposed to make you rock solid, man. I've given you two things that are unbreakable. My promise, which is the new covenant, and my blood covenant, my oath. So that will anchor your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. Hey, when I need to go right back to those two things that will never change. I promised it. I promise I'll do it. End of story. Well, what if my unbelief is higher than my belief? It's not my covenant. My covenant is I promised it. I'll do it. Doesn't that give you more assurance? Yes. Well, to me it does. Because if I have to worry about levels and get this above this and that, it's still a veil to me. I still can't go right into the Father and just receive freely. Because now I still got to work on something. God, I'm a mess, really? Oh, jeez, I need that much faith? Oh, God. What was Jesus' message? Who told you that? You need a mustard seed, and I've already given it to you. Just plant it in your heart. Plant that truth in your heart, and it'll grow. You'll first see the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. You're going to see the harvest, the 30, 60, 100-fold harvest. Just plant that in your heart, the good news of Jesus. Does that help you guys? All right. Okay, so they're the two covenants. These things are to be taken figuratively. The woman represents two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai. What happened at Mount Sinai? The old covenant was given. What happened when the old covenant was given? 3,000 people died, right? They came down the mountain. They had all the silver and gold because they're still under the Abrahamic covenant. It says, I brought them out, not because they're good. They were worshiping other idols. They were worshiping false gods, is what it said in Egypt. Why did he bring them out? Because the promise I made with your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I promised it, I'll do it. That's a better covenant to me, isn't it? So they had all the silver and gold of the world. They didn't worship it. The minute they go, hey, God, we can handle this thing. He goes, try the big 10. But if you break one, so Moses comes down, what happens? They broke the first one. They worshiped a golden calf. They were worshiping money now at that time. They had no desire to worship money until somebody said, don't worship money. What did Paul say? Don't lust. I didn't lust until somebody told me don't lust. Now I'm the biggest luster on the planet. That's what Scripture actually says. Doesn't it? It does. That's what it says. Paul goes, man, I was good until somebody said don't lust. Then it revived all sin in me. We had a sin revival when you give them the old covenant. Let's have a revival. Guess what? They just lie about it now to the pastor. They do. That's what it is. If we come in there and teach you the law, you're going to do more of it. It's how it is. So, there are two covenants. One's from Mount Sinai, which will kill you and make you a slave. That's Hagar. He keeps explaining it. Verse 25. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabian, corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem. So, the physical Jerusalem, the descendants of the Jews, the physical Jews, he told them they were what? Old covenant. You're slaves. All right? You guys getting this? Because she is in slavery with her children, but the Jerusalem that is above, what's the Jerusalem that is above? The real one. That's what it says in Hebrews. You've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. The mountain, Mount Zion is where you've come now. The old one was just a picture. The new one's the real one is what it said. The old one was a physical tabernacle where they shed blood of bulls and goats, but the real tabernacle is what it says is the real Lamb, Jesus Christ, the spiritual Lamb, went and shed his blood in the heavenly temple. You just can't see it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for that they were waiting for, but you can't see it. You got to believe it. Does that help you? That's all faith is. Know that you're completely righteous because Jesus' blood was shed on the real tabernacle. So now, where's real Jerusalem today? Well, if I believe what Scripture says, the Jerusalem that is above is the free one. The new covenant's the real Jerusalem. Is that not what it says? But the Jerusalem that's above is free, and she's our mother. Hey, what does it mean to be born again? Not by will, not by self-will, willpower, any of that, but by God. His Spirit recreated you. You're born of a spiritual nature now. Does that help? I'm born again. I ran around as a Christian going, I'm born again. I go, I have no idea what family asked what that is, but I'm born again. Oh, yeah, I'm born again. What does it mean? I'm born again. I don't know. They taught me that in catechism. I don't know. Went to Bible school and I don't know it. I went to Bible school and they told me I'm going to hell if I drink brandy. God, that's a bad covenant. Just trying to share. I'm trying to relax some of you guys. Does that make sense? That's what we were told. Hey, if something's going wrong in your life, find out which part of the covenant you're not doing. That's what they told us, wasn't it? We're like, geez, that kills you. They're guilty. And it causes craziness. And that's why I see all these outreaches. I go, nothing's changing. They've been doing this. You could take any country. Let's just pick Africa because that's where we were. I go, they can't even pave a road because they're so guilty. I'm going to heaven. Yeah, but your life sucks on earth, and I want it to prosper on earth. I want you to know who you are. You're completely righteous. You broke every part of the covenant is what it said. If you're guilty of one, you've broken it all, so you're guilty of everything. Follow me? But if you accept Christ, he was the perfect one. His obedience now made me perfect. Now there's a rest for my conscience. Now I can just have it for free because I'm back in the house. I'm a son. See how the old covenants are? All right, I'll keep going. So the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she's our mom. Now you brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At the time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It's the same now. So one was a physical descendant. Hey, you were born from a physical mother here on earth, right? When you're born again, what does that mean? You're born of a spirit. You're born of believing the right thing. Follow me? Do you still have flesh? Yeah. Unfortunately. Put your flesh down. Good luck. You'll come to my office and tell them how much you're struggling if you're trying to do it that way. How do you put the flesh down? Realizing that's not you. Jesus cut that flesh off, even though we still have it in a physical body. He goes, remove your mind. That's not who you are anymore. That's not who you are. You're righteous, even though you're struggling with these things. Put on the new mind. It's spiritual. It's what you believe. Does that help you guys? Okay. And the world and every addiction, everything is just trying to fix your flesh, and it doesn't work. And you wonder why you never get free. Because your heart didn't change. You didn't realize you're completely righteous, holy, prosperous, healthy, kick butt in Christ. Guys, does that make sense? All right. So at the same time, now you brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At the same time, the son born into the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It's the same now. Boy, is it. Right? You go into most churches and go, hey, that adulterer, she's completely righteous. Wow, you want to see the knives come out. Right? Tell somebody gay they're going to heaven. Knives. Gee. I'm serious. Can you lose your salvation? My question would be, which sin didn't Jesus cover? Which one? Well, wait a minute. If you can lose it, did he miss one? Exactly, Peggy. The only one that leads to death is you don't accept Christ. You're still trying to do it by works, and it'll eventually kill you. Your health's going to go away. It's going to make you weak and beggarly. The law makes you poor, and it makes you sick. So we start making stuff up like eat this diet. Does that make sense? We're trying to fix what only Jesus can fix. I just believe I'm healthy. Well, you can't say that. Yeah, I can. Because I'm in him and he's in me. And I think he eats hot dogs with me at Yankee Stadium. I really do. I think he hangs out. I love it. Hallelujah. Okay. At the same time, born into the flesh, persecuted the Son. It's still the same today. But what does the Scripture say? I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, not what you've been taught. What does it say? Well, you know the Bible says. It says lots of things. But what does it say? Get rid of the slave woman. Who was the slave woman? The old covenant. Get rid of it. Well, Mike, you can't say we're not under the old covenant. Well, Scripture says get rid of it. So if you're still playing with it, that's why your life is a mess. Because Scripture clearly says it's a picture. The old one was Mount Sinai. The law was given. Get rid of that thing because it'll make you a servant. What's a servant? Beggarly. They don't own anything. Right? Okay, so, but what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman, get rid of that old covenant, is what it said, and her son, and your own physical works. Okay? The sad part to me is most Christians are Ishmaels. They're still trying to work what God freely gives them. It's called religion, it's called denomination, it's called all this stuff. Are you religious? No. So they always ask me, man, you're a pastor, you're religious? I go, God, I don't want you to think I'm a pastor, because you think I have all the troubles that all those guys have. I actually have a good life. I really do, because the pastors that are teaching the law, guess what? They're a mess. In their private time, they're a mess. I go, I'm still in the phone book, man. I'll give you my address, right? So, but what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance. You can never get the goodness of God by trying to earn it. It'll never happen, is what it says. So share the inheritance of the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the old covenant, we're of the new covenant. Sarah, does that help you guys? So let's finish this up. All right. He came unto his own. Who were his own? The physical, fleshly descendants of Israel, right? To the Jew first, then to the Gentiles, what Scripture said. Hey, give this good news to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. All right? But, I like these buts, because I always say there's no yeah buts in the kingdom. It's always yes and amen. It's not, Mike, how can you tell that person who's sinning right now that they're going to heaven? I go, are they in Christ? Then I can tell them that. And once they get that in their heart, guess what? The stuff that they're messing around with will eventually fade away, because they'll start to realize that's not who I am. That's not who I am. Wait a minute. This old, I don't even want to pick things because it's like stage therapy. You think I'm struggling. So I can just tell you, here's what I deal with 99% of the time. Can I be real with you guys? Okay. men come into my office. Before, let me just guess. There's a hottie in your office, or you're struggling with porn. Which one is it? How do you know? Because you've been in church your whole life. Am I trying to be real? That's why I go, I want to do it, because it's not a deal to me. It's not. And it's fascinating. The guys who aren't in church don't struggle with it. I've got lots of friends who are not. They're just like, Mike, I don't even dabble with it. Why do you Christians always deal with it? I go, because they tell them to get an accountability partner and stop doing this and stop doing that. And it stirs up the flesh, and next thing I know, they're in my office going, I can't help myself. That's Paul. That's Paul said, listen, I didn't struggle with this stuff until the church said, stop doing it. Now I do it like everybody's business. And the wives are yelling at the men, right? Hey, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not condoning it, but I go, but I can fix it pretty easy. How? Know that you're righteous even while you're doing it, and it'll go away. Okay. And honestly, it won't be an issue after a while. It really won't. Does that help you guys? And you can take that with any addiction. You can take that with whatever. You're just trying to fill something that only His love can fill. That's all you're doing. So anyway, you're completely righteous even though you're doing all of that. And my wife knows me. It's not a struggle with me. It's really not. It's not. Now, take it or leave it. I got a hot wife. I don't need to. I'm just trying to be real. Does that make sense? And so, all right. So, he came unto his own received him not. They didn't believe him. What was his name? Jesus, salvation. Hey, I'm the one you've been looking for. All the types and shadows were me. Believe that I'm the one. What must we do to do the works of God? What did he say? Believe. Here's what you need to do. Believe. Well, no, but no, it's easier to do something. It's either to go to a class. It's either to go to this seminar. It's either to go to and fix something about me. What you need to fix is your heart and start believing who you are. This is who I am. This is who I am. I'm righteous despite all this. I'm righteous. I'm just telling you guys, it'll go away. And it'll last, and you won't need a 12-step program. Hallelujah. Amen? Okay, so, but, here's the real but. There's no yeah buts, because every promise is yes and amen. But there's a but, meaning it's contrary. Hey, but if you do receive him, if you believe who he is, to them he gave power to become what? Sons. Every promise in the Bible is now yours. Is it yours if you obey? The blessing of Abraham have come upon you. Did Abraham obey? I'm sorry, because I know the emails and calls I'm already getting. You can't tell people that. I have to tell you that, because otherwise you're never going to get free. Does that help you? I know you religious guys, you want to tell them what's bad about them because it makes you feel better, but I don't. I want to tell them what's right about them. Mike, you'll never believe what I'm struggling with. Try me, man. I bet I will, because there's no depth. He goes, the more you're trying to be good on your own effort, the worse it's going to get, right? So I try to tell him what's good about him. I go, let's break that. Here's who you really are. Sorry. My stuff's falling apart. I don't know what I did. All right, let's finish up. That's probably a good sign. But if you've received Christ, hey, the last man made everyone a sinner. The new man made you what? Perfect, righteous, holy, complete, nothing lacking. What am I waiting for? Nothing. Complete means perfection has already come to me. So what am I waiting for? Nothing. Does it say we're going to wait? In fact, Scripture says, I won't delay. I'm going to do this right away. We're still waiting. For what? If you're complete, what are you waiting for? That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to break all this stuff because I'm just trying to read Scripture to you. Does that help? I'm complete, man. I'm in the new Christ. How could it? It can't get any better than it's got. Well, someday it's going to get to, how? He's in me and I'm in him. I'm the best I can get. You guys get it? So what's the message we need to give him? Hey, there's no more bending down. There's lifting up, man. Let me tell you who you are in Christ. Does that make sense to you guys? All right. And so if you believed him, you have the power. It literally says, I've placed you. He's done it for you. It's not your actions, because it says you'll never inherit anything by trying to be good enough. How do you inherit? By accepting the new covenant, Sarah, Mount Zion, the spiritual Jerusalem. That's how you receive everything, is believe I already have it. How did I have it? Because the last Adam, Jesus, was perfect, and so he fulfilled every one of those things. And Deuteronomy 28 says, if you do this, then this, but if you mess up, then bad stuff's going to happen. Guess what? I became a curse for man so that all those curses are away. Now you're back under the real covenant, which was to blessing to Abraham. I'm going to promise I'm going to bless you, and boy, am I going to bless you. Isn't that good news? Okay, you become a son, even to them that do what? Believe that his name was salvation. Does that help you? Okay, stand on your feet. It doesn't get any better than this, boys and girls. Here's good news. What should I say? I don't want to irritate you. I'm trying to be humorous a little bit, too, because it's such a touchy subject to tell somebody when they're sinning that they're going to heaven. Yet that's the whole gospel. Stop identifying with that person. Identify with the new man, which is Jesus Christ. What's true about him is what's true about you. Amen? And if you're still trying to earn it by having enough of something or less of something, you're actually just putting a veil back up. You're back under a servanthood. I need to do this to be pleasing to God. And if I do this, then I'm going to be blessed. If I do this less, then he'll favor me. I get this all the time from people. Mike, if God knows what you're going to do with the money, he'll bless you. Where'd you learn that? Your nice little Bible school? It's wrong. In blessing, I will bless. That kills people. Now, am I telling you to go be stupid? No. But you know what? You know what you start doing? You're no longer sure. Because all of a sudden you have this thought like, man, maybe I want a nice car for my wife. No, put that down. That's lustful. Now you're unsure again. You're back under servanthood. Does that make sense? He goes, no, I'm blessing. I will bless. That's the new covenant. There's nothing. Now, what the church is afraid, that they think when we teach that, they're going to run off and be crazy. No, the church is already crazy. I deal with you guys all the time. You're already crazy. You know why? Because you're mixing new covenants. There's your mind and your heart are going, nah, I can't do. I go, it's okay. Relax. Rest. The new covenant's real and it's sure. Does that help you guys? How many of you guys been taught that? Right? Trust me, if you do this, God will really bless you. No, I can't get any more blessed than I am. It's my heart that's condemning me why I can't receive more than I am. Isn't that true? If he said he withholds nothing good, then who's the withholder? Your heart. What you believe about yourself. Follow me? Because he says the kingdom of God is like this. It's like your heart. If you have a stony heart, if you believe, what do the stones represent? The law. If you have a stony heart, if you think you're going to be accepted, pleasing, blessed, favored, healed because you're good, what does that say that seed does in your heart? Nothing. He tells them, hey, the kingdom of God is like this. I'm going to plant these seeds. But a stony heart, you won't receive it because you're going to think you still have to be under the law. But Jesus said, you know what? On the third day, what was rolled away? The stone was rolled away and you could go right into the mercy seat. When the people went in there, what did they see in the tomb? The two angels with Jesus' blood on the stones. The law was rolled away. You got the mercy seat, period. Does that help you? You're really quiet, so I'm not sure if I'm messing you all up because you're going to get in an argument on the way home, and I don't want you to do that because you're... The gospel's offensive. Unfortunately, because the law will always persecute grace. The old covenant will always persecute the new covenant. It's offensive. I get it. So... You don't need to tell. I just know people. They're going to go, Mike, it can't be that good. You got to tell these sinners they're going to hell. Who are you to tell them that? I don't know. It just says get rid of that old one that put you to hell. Eat the new one that says you're getting life. I don't know. I used to be blind, but now I see Jesus. Amen? Does that help you? So it's real, guys. I know. If it's like this thing, you got a stony heart yet. And this gospel message can't get in there. But if you can just get a virago and try this today. I'm righteous, man. He loves me perfectly. I'm the spotless bride. I'm the son that has heir of everything. And immediately that law will try to creep in. Yeah, but look at this habit. Look at this thing. Look at this. That's that guy with the black shirt on up here, right? He goes, that part's been cut away. Throw that old one away and just accept the new one that you're completely righteous. Does that help? All right, if you believe that, guess what? You're born again. You're born again by what you believe, not by physical descendancy. All right? Okay, let's pray. What do you want to pray about? I feel like I just bombarded you with like this crazy talk, but it's real. The new covenant's so good, guys. The old one's gone. The old one's gone. It's over. It said throw it out. Right? What do you want to pray about? What? Favorite? You have it. You got it. Christ has made unto you wisdom. Lord, I need more wisdom. Here's the wisdom. Christ has made unto you wisdom. What does that mean? Oh, I'm so smart, man. I went to this class, and I did this, and I did self-development, and I did this. And look how good I am. I do more in 15 minutes than most people do all day. I go, phew. How do you do it? Max, I told you this, didn't I? Okay, let me tell you how I do it, guys. Here, I'm going to do it for real. This is really what I did. So I laid in bed with my feet up, and here's what I said. I said, my mother would slap me silly by putting my shoes on a church chair. Right? Oh, Lord. If I understand how much you love me, if I could understand the height, the depth, the width, the breadth, man, if you died for me when I didn't deserve anything, how will you not freely give me everything now that I'm righteous? Lord, if I understand how much you love me, you'll do exceedingly abundantly beyond what I can think or require. That's how I did it. That's how I still do it. Because as many as believed him, to them he gave power to be heirs. You can receive everything by what you believe in your heart. Does that help you guys? So what's Christ has made wisdom unto me? What does that mean? The wisdom of God is I can bless you because Christ was perfect and you're married to him. You've become one. Yeah, but they told me I need to get more disciplined. That's the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of God is he loves me so much. He died for me. How will he not freely give me that? Because I already enjoy an heir and he owns it. Lord, I just thank you. I have that. That's who I am. So what are you doing? You're starting to change your heart. Christ has made unto me wisdom. And you know what? When your conscience is cleansed, you're going to start thinking straight. They're going to diagnose you with stuff. Hey, you're this. Your brain's this. It's releasing those chemicals. I know, because you're mixing the covenants and it's killing you. Your body produces stuff in your body that starts to eat you up. Does that make sense? That was one of the reasons I wanted to go to medical initially. I didn't even know it. It was just intuitive to me that I was like, Lord, I know that most sickness is because they're getting beat up inside. They feel guilty. So cancers, all this stuff is a condition of that. I'm not judging you if you're struggling with it. What I'm trying to give you is the solution to get out of it is go, know how beautiful you are in Christ's eyes. That's how you start to be healthy. That's how you prosper. Will it make you lazy? No, man, I work my butt off because I enjoy it. But I'm enjoying it from a position of, I know whatever I put my hand to is going to prosper. So I like to work. Does that help you guys? So now, what do you want to pray for? Here's how prayer works. When you know you already have it, ask for it and it's yours. Isn't that true? That's Mark 11, 23, 24. Hey, this fig tree. What's the fig tree represent? Old covenant. Looks good. Man, look at those guys. They're so good. Look at that. They don't even chew gum in church. They don't even put their feet on the chairs in church. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that true? Isn't that what it is, right? No, he goes, that can produce no fruit. Looks good. So nobody eat of this tree ever again. I curse that tree. And if you believe that, you shall say unto this mountain, what was the mountain? Be thou removed. He's looking at the temple system. Be thou removed and be thou dispersed into the Gentiles. Did that temple system get dispersed into the Gentile nations? Yes. Now there's a new way to do it. Ask. Would you believe in your heart? Ask and you'll receive it. You don't even work for it anymore. That old fig tree that you had to work to produce fruit is go over. Now you just ask and it's yours. Hallelujah. Does that give you more assurance? All right. So, Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. Forgive me for putting my feet on the church chair. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, because I know my mother, she's, man. Michael Ray Popovich, when they use the middle one, you're in trouble, right? Oh, Lord. So, Father, we love you. We praise you. Ah, you're so good. Just let this truth get into them that they're completely righteous, they're completely holy, they're completely prosperous. They're already rich. You became poor so that we may receive the riches of you. And Father, we don't have to worry about anything. Even death's been conquered, so we just thank you for that. We cast all cares to you because you're our caretaker, you're our comforter. And you promised you'll do it so we can just rest in that fact. And as we experience more and more of who we are in Christ, our heart just grows. And our outer boundary, everything we've been struggling for, working for, naturally just comes. So, Father, we thank you for supernatural results in people's lives. Father, as they know that they're completely righteous, addictions, habits, just fall off them in Jesus' magnificent name. Clear up their brain, clear up these chemicals as they believe the right thing. Their body is fearfully and wonderfully made. It'll produce the right stuff in their body. Father, I just declare them perfectly whole and healed right now in Jesus' magnificent name. I just tell they're perfectly prosperous. The blessing of the Lord has made them rich with no toil or labor to get it. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' magnificent name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah.